All right, 1, 2, 3. Welcome to Security Guy Radio. It as is 2016 in beautiful, wet, hot, sweaty Orlando, Florida. What's your name, sir?
My name is Joel Lira, and I work for Lira Electronics.
And I interviewed you guys last year. I think it was ISC West. And for my new listeners, tell us what LaRue does.
LaRue is a world leader in audio monitoring technology. And for the past 37 years, we focused on building all sorts of microphones for different applications.
37 years?
37
That's a long time.
Very long time.
Now, you're recently into, not recently, but I mean kind of recently, in 37 years, into gunshot detection, because 37 years ago, we didn't have people running around killing people randomly. Tell us about that technology and how you guys use it.
Yes, actually, the world has changed in the past 37 years. And now, as we all hear it in the news, it's a little bit more of a gunshot detection. Gunshot is out there. We recently have launched a new product line for audio analytics, where we're analyzing anything from gunshots to aggression, car alarm, and sorry about that.
Well, the aggression part of that was really interesting. So your listening devices, your microphones, let's say, to boil it down something simple, can actually detect a verbal argument or discussion where it's not you and I having a nice conversation. Mm-hmm. It's you and I arguing. And the analytics can tell, based on decibel levels, based on tone, I guess a bunch of things, that could be a potential conflict.
Yes, it actually, it listens not only to, it doesn't listen to the words, it doesn't listen
not the
to
words,
any
right.
language.
Right.
It listens to the tone that we,
okay.
that we have. Because we, as we have found out, is that when someone's being aggressive, physical changes actually happen to your vocal cords.
Okay.
And that is what this system is able to capture.
Well, that's interesting. So it's not really a decibel level completely.
No, it is not.
It's a pitch and a tone and a bunch of other things. Okay. So when I'm angry, I sound differently.
Oh, yes.
Maybe not to the human ear as much, but my file on the audio file is different.
Yes, it is. In a sense, think about it this way, Chuck. What we've been able to do is kind of map the human ear.
Oh.
So it's the cochlear model. If you think about it, in your ears, you have fibers. And based on these fibers, the way they vibrate is how we're able to interpret what kind of sounds we're picking up.
Okay.
And that is what this system does. It's an artificial ear, in a
sense. How interesting. Now, how does that distinguish your product? How do you distinguish it from other, you know, gunshot detection products? There's a few out there. What makes yours different than theirs?
Well, number one thing, we actually just received the award for security products, new product of the year for audio analytics.
Oh.
Where one of the things that differentiates us is that we're not only detecting gunshots, but we're doing looking for all the other things that happened before that, often aggression.
So there could be aggression that precedes a gunshot.
That
makes a lot of sense.
So it is, think about it as an early threat detector.
Right.
Before the gunshot, there's often a break-in at the bank. So the glass breaks when someone's entering.
Yep.
The car alarm will sound off. People start being aggressive in a verbal tone before there's a gunshot. 90%
right.
of the time, actually.
Okay. Interesting. Now, remember one of my favorite movies, Batman? Dark Knight, and Mr. Fox at the end took all the cell phones in the city and made them listening devices, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then he could do it in an analytic and find out, oh, this is where those guys are. Are we getting there? Seems like we're getting there.
You know what? I've heard that analogy, and I've heard the Minority Report analogy just earlier today. The technology has improved immensely. And
I mean, in theory, it's possible.
Definitely.
If everybody let you turn your phone on for a listening device, in theory, we could gather it. In theory, we could analyze it. A big thing to do. But what I'm thinking is you guys should have a mobile app where, you know, as a consumer, I can download it and I turn it on. And if everybody had it on here and your sensors picked up the sound at headquarters, right,
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't be maybe as good as a sensor here. But if 100 people heard a sound that all sounded the same, you guys might be able to say, that's a gunshot over here, where you don't even have a sensor. See?
I was going to say, we'll take that to our engineers, but then that raises the whole privacy issue.
Well, you have to opt in, of course, mm-hmm. right? But, I mean, a bunch of cops, a bunch of security people, I would call it crowdsourcing for gunshots, crowdsourcing for aggression, crowdsourcing for In other words, you know, it's like the same thing with that driving application where you drive around.
Waves,
and it tells people, hey, I got an accident here and stuff. So
it would work similar.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, who's buying this product?
Top market right now, it is education. So universities.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Universities are definitely in.
Not the high schools, though.
Not for high schools. High schools tend to look for aggression. Universities have more of a need for gunshot, sadly.
Okay.
Actually, our founder, our CEO, is looking, and we're trying to convince him not to, but he wants to give this product away. He wants to set up a foundation because he knows the need. So as soon as sales pick up, that's what we'll be looking
for. Well, that's very admirable. That's fabulous. Yeah, because I think it would go a long way to protect people. Now, what are your thoughts on the data itself? My thought is this. If I was the school and I bought your product and I put it in, I'd want, the second there's a gunshot, I want that data to go to everybody. I don't want to look at it and say, well, I'll decide what to do about the gunshot. I want all the kids in the school to know that a gunshot happened 100 yards over there. Let the kids start participating in their own safety by saying, I'm not going to go over there. I'm going to stay away from that, right? And as I get more data and it unfolds, then I'll make some administrative policies to do things with the people. But are you finding that your customers want to keep this data inside the security department, inside the HR department, you know, whoever utilizes the software and the hardware? Who wants to use it and what do they want to use it for? It's not a massive alert system, right?
No, it is not, but it can integrate.
It can be, right.
That is, it's about half and half.
Okay.
It all depends on the application. For example, schools want to actually see it before it happens.
I'm not sure that's a good idea. You don't need to make a comment on that, but because that's not good for your clients. But, you know, my opinion is kind of like, if your science is so specific, and I believe it is, that's not a cat farting, that's a gunshot, okay, then we need to move on that. We can't have a committee to decide what to do about it, right?
I agree.
So the technology, this is one of those cases where the technology is ahead of policies. Technology gets invented and people say, oh, well, I didn't know we could do that, and I don't know sure how to write a policy about it, right?
That is true.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Very interesting.
All right, so you got universities, we got some schools. Any private corporations?
Private corporations, as far as headquarters, yes.
So a big corporate environment, a big campus would want to buy this kind of thing.
Yes, a lot of corporations where there's the headquarters where they have big lobbies, they're looking to install this sort of system.
How about municipalities? Are they deploying this around a city as a public detection?
Yes, you know what? Interestingly enough, there's different areas here in the U.S. that are asking for it more than others.
Okay.
The one good thing about this product is that it does not raise as much privacy concern because our system is not listening for words. It doesn't care about the language.
Right.
It just doesn't care about what it's listening to. It's only listening for specific triggers.
Okay. Based on, I use Audacity to do my shows, right? It's a free software program for sound. And sound is fascinating. When you look at a sound file, it's all these, you know, graphs that go up and down, right? But if you spread it out, there's much more to it. If you can take a WAV file and expand it, there are such subtleties and differences and peaks and things like that. It becomes a unique fingerprint, so to speak. So are you able to say that this is a .45 caliber versus a .32 caliber with 100% certainty or 80% or what?
No, we actually don't even try to guess.
Oh, really?
Because,
how come?
To be honest with you, I can't tell the difference between a .22 caliber and a .40 caliber. And neither does it really matter, though, when someone's being shot at...
It does. Here's why. And write this down now. You might want to... Here's why it matters.
Mental note.
For a couple reasons. Now, first of all, if I'm shooting a .45, that's a larger grain, bigger bullet, right? But grains, gunpowder can differ. I can have a 38 caliber that has 50 grams of gunpowder or 128. I'm going to get a different noise based on that, right? So I could see why you wouldn't know if that's a 38 or a 22, right? But 9mm tend to have higher capacity. So if I know it's a 9mm, I might be going into a situation and say, you know, that's a 9mm. This guy could have a 20-round clip, a 30-round clip. 22 has high capacity. 45s have lower capacity magazines. It's just more information. It's more like an analytic piece of information might be good to know. But on the other hand, if you get it wrong, that could be a problem,
that's
too.
That's what I was going to say. If we get it wrong, and hopefully what we're trying to do is the early threat. So stop it either before the first shot or soon as the first shot is happening.
Now, do you have any success stories you can share with us?
We have a lot of NDAs.
Well, but you don't have to tell me who. Can you just give me a scenario?
Schools, definitely.
So it's been successfully deployed at a school where it's found a gunshot.
Not gunshot.
Okay.
God, but we have successfully worked around the aggression and bullying.
Bullying, that's a good one. Definitely. Yeah, that's a very big problem.
It's a very good need.
All right, so you were able to, somebody at the school was able to hear this on your system, hear that there's some bullying going on, it's aggression, and intervene and stop something.
And intervene and stop
it. Oh, brilliant. Right? Any gunshot stuff?
Not at this moment.
Well, that's a good thing, actually.
That is what I was trying to say. You know what? That's what we're trying to, it's an early threat detector.
Yeah.
We don't want to cover the gunshot.
Yeah, very good. How many countries you guys working in?
Currently, it's the technology's actually existed in Europe before we took it over.
Right.
So the technology in Europe is in several different countries. Here in Latin America, we have several deployments, and in the U.S.
Okay. Good.
So it's worldwide now. I like that.
Joel, what's your last name again?
Mayoral.
And name of the company?
Luro Electronics.
Spell that for me.
Luro. LOUROE.
And it's .com, right?
.com.
Out of North Hollywood, California.
Out of Van Nuys.
Oh, Van Nuys. Sorry, I don't want to offend anybody.
Nearby, about 10 minutes away.
Joel, thanks for coming on. It's good to get rid of. Appreciate it. Thanks. All right, beautiful.